WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and there are at least two kinds of summers for New Yorkers. Summers for New Yorkers who aren't switching apartments, and summers for those who are. May through September are the most popular times for leases to be up, which means a great number of you are playing that time-honored game of musical chairs, leaving your old place either reluctantly or happily, and scrambling for something new. And chances are, if you're looking for an apartment this month, you've looked at least one place through a broker and been asked to pay a broker's fee. Now, broker's fees are a commission, if you don't know, that tenants have to pay to real estate agents who are retained by the landlord when signing an initial lease, and can sometimes cost as much as 2 months' rent. It's not a convention that exists in all other parts of the country, and just this year, as much of the conversation around housing had to do with rent control and rent stabilization, City Council introduced a package of bills aimed at capping broker fees. Thousands of brokers came to protest one of the hearings. With me now are City Council member Keith Powers, who is in favor of capping broker fees, and legal aid attorney Robert Dazier, who testified at a council hearing on the issue in June. Welcome to both of you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Good morning, Brian.
Councilman, how many New York apartment listings currently carry broker fees?
In my district, we estimated about 45% of the apartments that are listed on StreetEasy, which is one common and popular site, feature a broker's fee, but not when you hire the broker, but when you go and see the apartment, a broker that's been hired by the landlord. So in those particular scenarios, we said that seems unfair, and it seems like the consumer should be protected against a cost where they don't get to hire the person, they don't get to negotiate the fee up front. The numbers vary by neighborhood, but in my district, I think we estimated about 45 to 50% have a broker's fee on them.
And are there specific kinds of apartments that generally carry broker's fees and those that don't?
Well, some of the luxury apartments will pay for the broker themselves and cover the cost, but many others won't.
And they'll advertise no fee.
They'll advertise no fee. And doesn't mean that's not a broker involved in the transaction. It means that the development or the property owner is willing to pay for that cost.
Bake it in,
or either way, yeah, to cover the cost. But many other scenarios, you will see the renter will show up to the apartment. They'll not be aware of how much they have to pay or not be able to negotiate up front, and then they'll have to pay at the end of the transaction, and which could be really costly to the tenant.
Now, listeners, we can take a few phone calls on this. Are you looking for an apartment, and have you been asked to pay more than 1 month's rent as a broker fee? What did you do? Did you pay it? Could you even pay it? Have you been unable to get an apartment that you could otherwise afford because of the high broker fee? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And if you are a real estate broker, call up and demystify your field and tell people how this works. And can you defend charging more than 1 month's rent up front? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And Robert Dazier from Legal Aid, what's the issue here?
Well, thank you, Brian, for having us to talk about this important issue. The issue here is that this burden of fees, of the security deposit, of these unlimited costs that tenants have to bear in what is a vulnerable time are, you know, a particular burden on low-income tenants. These tenants face a number of challenges. There's source of income discrimination for people who want to use vouchers. There's all kinds of other discrimination they face based on disability. And, you know, throughout the process, there are all these hurdles that they have to surpass. And these fees are just another part of that. And a lot of these fees that we see, there isn't any justification for them based on, it's just kind of based on like what the owners and the brokers are able to exploit, which is the overheated market and the low vacancy rate. So we want to make sure that people who are not with the resources to kind of combat these things are still able to access something that's very basic, which is a roof over their head for themselves, for their families.
And Councilmember Powers, your legislation aims to cap brokers' fees at 1 month's rent. Why that?
Yeah, great question. So we actually, when we set out to do the legislation, my premise here was that the duty of paying the broker should just simply be on the person that hires them. And in some conversations, people in the industry, because we always try to have some stakeholder engagement, there were some concerns about, well, there was some a valid point, which is maybe the tenant gets some value out of, or gets a value out of the posting going up, the person opening up the apartment for them, showing them the apartment, answering questions. So we tried to say, it's actually not a cap on 1 month for the take-home pay. It's a cap on what the renter should be exposed to when they have not even hired the person in that transaction. But I think ultimately, really what we're talking about is there's just a lack of transparency here in those transactions. If you go online right now, you can't even see how much you have to pay, either in an amount or a percentage. It's, as you use the word demystify, we're trying to demystify the process. And I will say I've met with a number of brokers. We had a very long hearing that brought up a lot of different issues. And I'm grateful for those who work in the industry who came and told their story, because I think we want to get to a place where the renter does not feel like it's an uphill challenge to figure out at the beginning of the transaction how much you're going to have to pay.
So 1 month's rent, that would be about 8.5%, something
about
like
eight and
that.
And a half. So the standard right now is about 15%,
right?
Negotiable.
15%.
You can negotiate it. I remember.
But, yeah. I own a co-op now, but I remember the last place I rented, I paid a broker 15%.
That's right. So you, but, and I think you don't even know that sometimes you can negotiate it. So what we're saying for tenants is like the minimum you should be able to know what you're going to pay and that you can negotiate it. But you know, when you get there, it's about 15%.
So you want the, if I'm a broker, I'm saying, are you kidding me? This is my business. You want the government to take almost half my fee out of my pocket?
Well, what we're saying is that the renter should only pay the half and that the landlord should be paying their portion
okay.
of it. And in that case, they might make the full 15% and make more money than the normal transaction. But I understand the concern that it looks like the government's reaching into the pocket of somebody who's probably working really hard to help out property owner and tenant. But like I said, I think that really the goal here is to provide transparency and also to, in a perfect world, have the landlord be paying for the agent that they've hired.
And Robert DeZier, if you think about, which I know you do, the total upfront costs that people might have to pay if it's, you know, first month's rent, last month's rent.
Moving fees,
security deposit, and a broker's fee.
And any other income checks, you know, credit checks, background checks, those sorts of things are charged to the tenant.
So do you see a lot of people at Legal Aid who can afford to rent an apartment but they can't afford to move?
Definitely. You know, the city has taken action to try and help with that. They provide a security voucher in lieu of a deposit for, you know, tenants coming out of shelter, tenants who qualify for different subsidies. There are also a lot of charitable organizations that we refer people to assist with that, because once somebody's gone through kind of everything they have to and identified an apartment, there's a short time period in which they have to act because of the overheated market, because there's always competition for a lot of apartments. So where people are coming short with those costs, we want to try to get folks housed as quickly as possible. We have a lot of people that we represent that are coming out of shelter or trying to come out of shelter. So really, time is of the essence for them. So, you know, there are a number of things that are done, but, you know, I think really it would help if there was some reasonable cap on these fees that people have to face so that they can, you know, kind of get themselves in permanent housing and out of shelter.
Here is a real estate agent, Sam, in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hi, Sam. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I'm a huge fan of the show.
Thank you.
I listen every day.
Thank you.
So my comment is about part of the legislation is has to do with capping security deposits that landlords can charge. And, you know, I'm a real estate agent, but I mostly do sales now. I do a couple of rentals. But the issue I see with capping those to a one-month fee is that a lot of people who don't qualify for an apartment, otherwise don't make enough money or just got a new job or don't have the credit rating, whatever it is, you know, we have in the past taken extra security to make sure that they are guaranteed to pay the rent and that they can secure the place. And now if you say you can only take 1 month security, then the landlord's just going to say no, flat out no. Like, if you don't make 40 times the monthly rent in 1 year, then no, you can't have the apartment. And, you know, it's a lot of, like, having to make $80,000 a year to afford a $2,000 studio is already bad enough. But you mean you can't borrow, you know, 3 months security from your parents to make sure that you have the apartment? That seems like it goes against affordability. It goes against people being able to get housing. And I think landlords are just going to say, nope, sorry, you don't qualify. Mm-hmm. You can't have the place. And then what do you do?
Council member?
Yeah, thanks. And thanks, Sam. I've actually evolved in my thinking on this, and I'll tell you why. I think that there are situations where either international people moving to New York City, maybe some students, where they're, I think, you know, let me say two things. One, there's another bill I had that would cap security deposits at 1 month. It's this debate is over because the state actually passed something as part of the rent regulation debate or conversation this year that limits it. So even as I was having some conversation with folks to really understand those issues where discrimination might occur or lack of housing might occur for certain groups because of the inability to pay that second month or have some flexibility in it.
Can they demand first month's rent and last month's rent and security deposit?
We used to sometimes do that, Ryan, but we don't. No. But apparently we can't anymore.
Yeah, the state law, Sam's correct. The state law says that you can no longer collect multiple months of rent to do that. So it's really you can collect that first month because you're moving in and you can collect a security deposit. I had been thinking through this issue really deeply because I really heard the same and repetitive concern from people who I think don't have an ulterior, like have no motive except to try to find housing for people and to try to make a commission, obviously. The state took care of it, and I've heard that since from some brokers that it's been made it more life more challenging. I know with me, I'm always willing to revisit an issue if it's not working the way intended, but this is a conversation that's moved to state level.
Sam, thank you. Call again. Fode in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Fode.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Good program.
Thank you.
I hope they will be able to step up because this is a gouging game. You know, some of the brokers, they will ask for 2 months a rental fee. Let me say, if you your apartment it's $1,500, then they will ask for 2 months. You will give them $3,000, and the landlord money gonna be like another $3,000. And they will ask you to pay another $100, some of them $50, $75 for a credit check. And besides that, they will expose your information. Anywhere you go, you have to give them your social and everything. And you don't even know if those social security number that you are giving to them, if they are well secured or not. So that's the thing. Compare how much someone is earning here in the Bronx. Majority are just average workers, $15 an hour, and you're asking that person for $6,000 before they can even move into a new apartment, a one-bedroom apartment. So right now in the Bronx, that most of the people, they can't even afford a one-bedroom apartment, so they have to double up, one, two, three people coming together for just one bedroom for them to be able to afford it. So you see, it's very, very dangerous. You know, it's not good. I hope they will be able to step up and control those people.
Let me jump in just for time. And I think we heard from the council member in his last answer that some of what you just described is now going away under state law. But Robert DeZier from Legal Aid, I'm sure you've heard, you know, the kind of thing Fode is describing many times.
Right, definitely. We hear this all the time from our clients. Our clients are always moving, unfortunately, because their housing is not as stable as it could be, as it should be. And people are always, kind of experiencing these hurdles, experiencing like these fees that they can't possibly pay. So losing out on apartments that they otherwise would be able to afford the monthly rent on and provide some stability for their family, but they just can't get past that initial stage to get them in. And that's really unfortunate. And I'm glad that the city council is paying attention to this issue and finally addressing it with these bills and in companion with what's been done at the state. Hopefully this can alleviate some of these problems that we see.
And Foda, you mentioned credit checks and application fees.
Yes.
I should tell you so you know, and then everybody so they know, that part of this New York State rent reform package includes a limit on application fees, so they can no longer exceed $20. So this, this doesn't apply to brokers. In fact, one of my producers just paid $75 for an application fee to a broker. But you should know, Fode, for you and anybody else who you're dealing with, that is, at least to the landlord, $20 is the max for a credit check application fee now.
Okay, thank you for that. And besides that, like some of the private buildings, you can rent an apartment there, and there is a car park there. They don't allow you to use the car park. They say, no, we just rent you the apartment.
Right.
So the car park, they will rent the car park again to another different people outside. So you can't even use the car park there. So you have to park your car outside, and someone else is using the car park where you are living.
For a fee.
So that's the way they do.
Fode, thank you. Please call us again. Thank you very much. Okay. Councilman, on that $75 application fee to a broker, I don't know if they just didn't think of this in Albany, but they restricted it to $20 to a landlord for an application fee for a credit check, but not for a broker.
Well, most of the stuff is actually for the landlord, I think. Most of it's for the landlord to be able to understand what the tenant that they're getting and to qualify for them.
Would your new legislation cover this?
My legislation would not cover this, but we do have other pieces of legislation in the council that would affect like your credit report, for instance, and being able to let you get a copy of the credit report that's run on your on the tenant when they are seeking an apartment. But look, more globally, we are interested in all these issues around consumer protections, particularly in one of the most frustrating experiences in New York, which is finding an apartment. And one other caveat I mentioned is there's plenty of services out there that are brokers where they're helping the tenant, where you hire them. You go out and hire that person. And we're not intending to touch that. If you make the decision to hire somebody and negotiate the fee up front and choose that person, we're not talking about that transaction because it's a voluntary decision.
Let's hear from one more broker. Denise in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Denise.
Hi, Brian. Listen, I love this conversation, but I really wish you had had someone from the Real Estate Board of New York to also answer some of the challenges that these two gentlemen have posed. One of the things people don't understand is if brokers just don't show apartments, we have to also, in many of the co-op apartments that are available for rent, do what is called board packages. You spend hours pulling together tons of information. And with respect to the credit check, it's also a background check, which is costly. We actually look at people's backgrounds to see if they've had any kind of felonies in the past or issues that landlords are concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just, asking for 15% just to open a door, show an apartment, and say that's the end of it. There's a lot of work that goes on in the background. And as to the idea that brokers don't tell people what the fees are up front, my and REBNY brokers have to give potential clients a fee registration information.
Like how it works up front.
Yes, so that they know straight up front what they're going to be paying. We list the number of apartments, we show them, and at the end of the process, yes, we do ask for a fee because we are doing a service.
Denise, thank you so much, and you call us again. And we're almost out of time, but Robert, to her point, I see that the hearing you attended in June at City Council was flooded by more than 1,000 brokers saying this sort of legislation would affect their livelihood and their ability to provide for their families, and that in 2018, the average annual wage of a real estate broker and sales agent in the U.S. was $63,000, with a median hourly wage of about $23,000. So that's okay, but hardly exorbitant.
Well,
they say,
as the council member mentioned, and as the legislation clearly clearly spells out, the fee is limited to what can be charged to the tenant. The landlord and the broker are free to continue to negotiate and figure out what's fair for the work that they are doing on behalf of a landlord. I just don't think that these costs should be on the backs of the tenants when we're talking about housing and when we're talking about vulnerable populations.
All right. Good luck to anybody out there who is moving. Good luck to landlords that your new renters don't wreck the place. Good luck to the brokers in being fair to everybody and making a living in the process. And we thank City Council Member Keith Powers and Legal Aid Attorney Robert DeZio. Thank you both very much.
Thanks for having us.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come.